If you have your Bibles today, would you please open them to 2 Chronicles, not 2 Corinthians, but make that 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today about a group of people that set out to do something for the Lord. But the problem was they forgot to do it the way the Lord wanted them to. And so my question is, have you ever done the right thing for the right reason, but yet it still turned out wrong? And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to ask you, if you're physically able, I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to go back in the context and look at it. So I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand, please. Verse 8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, and talk of all His wondrous works." Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray that we will be reminded, Lord, that it's not enough for us just to know what to do, but God, we have to do it according to Your word. And so, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, I pray that You will take it and You will apply it to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at this passage, we have to realize that there are certain ways to do things. And when you do things the way that the Lord wants them done, you have to realize that if you deviate from that, there's going to be a very costly mistake. We're going to look at this passage, and we're going to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And we're going to see that David and them set out to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem where it belonged. And they were in the process of doing that, but they just didn't go about it in the right way. And it wound up costing an individual his life. And when we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're looking at something in the Bible that's called a narrative. In other words, we're looking at a story. And you have to be very careful when you look at stories in the Bible about the conclusions that you draw to them or draw from them. And so what I want to ask you to do today is just listen to these things with a very open mind. Listen to the way that the Lord lays them on your heart to apply them so that you can have the correct meaning of this passage. So turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and let's look at verse 2. What had happened was, because of the ark had been taken away from Jerusalem and they needed to get it back and they needed to bring it back. And so they are there, and in 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible said, "And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in the cities and the common land, that they may see, that they may gather together to us." So this is what he says. And then he says in verse 3, "And let us bring the ark of God back to us, for we have not acquired it since the days of Saul." So this is what they have. The ark is not in Jerusalem where it belonged. They set out to go get it. Notice what they did. They basically had a nationwide business meeting. And everybody decided this is what we need to do. Now notice that God was with them. This was what they should do. But what's going to be interesting is they knew what God wanted them to do. They just forgot about how God wanted things done. Can I get a witness? Right? They started out with God's blessing, with God's favor. But when they got going, they forgot about how God wanted things done. So, look at verse 4. "Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for this thing was right in the eyes of all the people." Now listen, everybody was in agreement. Everybody knew what needed to happen. And so they come to this sense of agreement, and they're ready to go. They're ready to go and do it. Now, skip down to verse 7. So they're on their way. "So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio and drove the cart. And David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps and stringed instruments and tambourines and cymbals and with trumpet." Now, I have underlined "with all their might." Now, can you imagine this? They think they are doing exactly what God wants them to do. They think that God is in favor of what they're doing, and he did agree with them, and they are doing it with all their might. And I can't help but think of myself here, because so many times we want to serve the Lord, and we want to serve him with everything that we have. That serving the Lord is the most important thing. But then there's verse 9. And when they came to Kadesh, the threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand out to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the Bible says in verse 10, and then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he had put his hand out to the ark, and he died there before God. Now, can you imagine when all of a sudden all these people that are obviously friends, they're obviously thinking that they're serving the Lord, they're thinking they're doing what they're supposed to do, and all of a sudden the ox stumbles, and one of their friends reaches out to just, his natural reflex, I'm sure, was to grab it, and man, as soon as he touched it, they fell dead. And notice what verse 11 says. Verse 11 says, and David was very happy about this. Is that what verse 11 says in your Bible? He said he got mad. David became angry. And he was angry because of the Lord's outbreak. Man, he was mad. It made him mad because this happened. And then in verse 12, the Bible says that David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? Now, this is what's interesting. They're out doing what they thought was God's will. They just forgot to read the Bible. We're going to come to that in just a second. But they're out doing what they think is God's will, and lo and behold, one of their absolute best friends, obviously because they were upset about it, one of their absolute best friends winds up dying because of what they had done. And David was mad. But in verse 12, the word afraid means to respect. So when the Bible says that David was afraid of God, what you could translate was David learned to fear God, to respect God that day. You see, David has just become the king over the nation of Israel. And now he's become that way through a military. So he's established his leadership, his reign as king. And this is his first endeavor into spiritual things as the king of Israel. And as soon as he crosses over into spiritual things, he didn't realize that when you serve the Lord, you have to do it in a way that pleases him. And I offer to you that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But David would have never been a man after God's own heart if this event hadn't happened. Because David became a man after God's own heart when he realized that it's not enough just to do something in the name of the Lord. It's not enough just to have that stamp of the Lord's blessing. When you do something in the name of the Lord, you have to do it in a way that honors him. In the end of verse 12, he asks this question, how can I bring the ark of God to me? And so David, he wouldn't move. They leave it there. And the Bible says that the place that they left it, that this guy was blessed. And he was blessed because of the ark of the Lord. Now, look at chapter 14. When you look at chapter 14, look at verse 2. This is very important. Even though David messed up, even though David did not do it right, David didn't follow God's word, David still knew that God had a plan for his life. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 14, so David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. Now, I want to ask you something, and boy, I can't help but think of my own self. But have you ever noticed how that sometimes when things don't go the way that we want them to, we automatically assume God's not in it? But David knew, even though he had messed up, and through their actions, even though they didn't set out to, but through their actions, they had gotten somebody killed because they didn't go back and read what the Bible said, and they didn't move the ark in the way that God had said to. But even though he messed up really bad, he still knew that God's hand was on it. And I just want to say to you, if you're here today, and you honestly wonder, is God done with me? I can tell you based on the authority of Scripture, because you wouldn't be here today to hear this. The devil sure didn't bring you up here to hear you say this. But the answer is God's not through with you. And if you look at your life and go, but I did, that doesn't mean that God's through with us. That's an opportunity for God to work. And the Bible said that his kingdom, this is the rest of verse 2, was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. And so God's plan was to use David. God had a purpose for David. God had a way that he wanted David to do things, and David forgot one small, simple thing. He knew God had called him. He knew God had anointed him. He could see God's blessing on his life. He forgot one small thing. You know what that one small thing was? He forgot to go back and read the directions. Can I get a witness? I imagine if, for those of us that are willing to be honest, there's a lot of people in here got some scars. And the scars didn't come because we didn't do what God said. It's we set out to do what God said without consulting the directions. Listen, when you look at a passage of Scripture like this, you have to realize when we serve the Lord, it matters how we do it. When we serve the Lord, it matters the way that we conduct ourselves and the way things are done. Because there are things in the Bible that God wants done a certain way. Look in your Bible at chapter 15. In chapter 15, verse 12, we get down to it. They're ready to go back and get it now. They've gone back to Jerusalem, and you know, it's one of those amazing, remarkable things. But they went back to Jerusalem. They figured out that they had started to serve the Lord. They hadn't done it in a way that was pleasing to God. And what did somebody say? Let's look at what the law says. Right? What we would say, the Bible. They said, let's get God's word out and let's look at it. So, verse 12. He said to them, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levite. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Now, that's a mouthful, but if you just look at it, the first thing I want you to notice is he said we didn't do it right the first time. Now, how many of us, how many of us have ever learned by not doing it right the first time? Yeah, me too, right? Yeah, a lot of times some of the best advice that we give to people, well, go ahead, I tried it that way, and I can tell you all the reasons why that's not going to work, right? And so that's what he said. He said, we did not do it right the first time. But I want you to look back at chapter 13, verse 11. When you look back at chapter 13, verse 11, when he died, David got mad because the anger of the Lord broke out against him. You remember that in 13? Well, notice what he says in chapter 15, verse 13. It was verse 11 in chapter 13. But in verse 13, he said, the Lord our God broke out against us. Right? Now they're not throwing their friend under the cart. Now they come to the realization, wait a minute, we didn't do this right. We didn't do this the way that God wanted it done. And notice at the end of verse 13, it says, because we didn't consult with him about the proper order. In other words, things wasn't done according to the way God had said. And so verse 14, right out of the Old Testament there, he said, so the priests and the Levites, they sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. And you know what? When they did it the way that God had commanded them to do it, you know what happened? They brought it up. And they didn't have any trouble. And the reason they didn't have any trouble is because they were doing it God's way. Now, I told you when we started, you have to be very careful about drawing conclusions from narratives, from stories. But I want to ask you, how many people in here can honestly say that when you started out into something, you knew God was in it? And you can pick whatever it is that you want to pick. You can take marriage, kids, job, and you can honestly say that you honestly prayed, ask God, is this what I need to do? God, should I move forward in this? And you know that God said, yes, go ahead. But as soon as you got married, You forgot. The Bible says that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Right? The Bible says that a woman is to respect her husband. And what we have to realize is, if we don't do even what we got permission from God, we got his permission to do it, if we don't do it the way that God said, we're not going to get God's blessing. Right? And you hear people say, well, I believe that it's God's will that I do this, but we don't like to say, but this is how. And so we don't make the connection from God has said, he has given me permission to do this, but then we don't in obedience, right? How many, when you think about kids, how many people pray for children? And they ask God to give them children, and God blesses that union, and God gives them children. But how many of us remember the number one job of parents is to teach children to love the Lord? Right? Not tell them, teach them. Not teach them how to hit a curveball, teach them to love the Lord with all of their heart. And with all of their soul, and with all of their mind, and with all of their strength, with every fiber of being that they have. That's God's will. That's the way it goes. How about this? How about the job? You know that job, you know that thing that everybody has to have, right? How many people have ever prayed for a job? And then they forget. It's God's will that we be salt and light. Right? Come on now. Don't get quiet now. Right? It's God's will that we be salt and light. Right? We can't be down there at that job talking about folks behind their back and stirring up trouble and just being the big old spoon and then get to work on Monday morning. What'd you do yesterday? Oh, I went to church. Right? Listen, when we pray, same way for ministry. Listen, when we pray and ask God to give us a ministry, we got to realize God will answer that prayer. But when God answers that prayer, he expects us to do it in a way that honors him. And God doesn't give us permission just to say, well, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it the way that I want to. I want to encourage you from last week, if you lead any position in the church, ministry team, committee, deacon, Sunday school, anything, hey, I want to encourage you, write out a vision statement. Get along with God and just pray until God gives you something and you can look the people in your ministry, whatever it is, you can look them in the face and say, this is what God said right here. And listen, when you have that, you don't have to worry about the very thing that we're talking about. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to spend your whole life as a Sunday school teacher, die and get to heaven and find out God wanted you to be a Sunday school teacher. He just wanted you to do other things. And if we're going to serve the Lord, shouldn't we serve him in a way that pleases him? I think so too. Last one. This is to the church. The Lord gave me this morning. Remember what the Lord said in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus? Remember? That's the one that the Lord said, listen, unless you repent and do your first works, you know what the Lord said? I'll come and I'll remove my lampstand from you. And that word lampstand represents the presence of God. And as a church, we need to realize church didn't start when Jenny started the prelude. And church don't end when she prays the postlude. I hope I got my ludes right. But anyway, you know what? Church starts when Jesus shows up. Only four people know that. Church starts when Jesus shows up. And listen, if Jesus is not here, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing here? Right? We need to find out where he is and go and join him. But do we want his presence enough to be willing to repent? Do we want his presence enough to be willing to do our first works? And the answer for a lot of people is absolutely not. Look at verse 25 of 1 Chronicles chapter 15. When you look at verse 25, David, the elders of Israel, the captains over the thousands, they went to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom. And what's the last two words if you're looking at those in your Bible? With joy. Absolute joy. Now, I guess you're going to say I'm meddling now. Have you ever had a ministry that you could use, about 15,438 words to describe, but you would never use the word joy? Come on. Anybody besides me? I'm going to tell the story, so I'm about to confess mine. So anybody want to throw an amen out there and say, man, drudgery, treachery, misery. I'm going to tell you because it's true, but just because I tell you this don't mean that it's not what I should do. Brother Alan Stevens is the director of missions in Rankin County, and he is a brother in the Lord to me, and he called me and asked me would I be on the administrative committee of the association. And I've been on it before. I didn't pray about it. I said, sure. Has been the longest 3 years. Listen, do you know when you don't have any joy? We meet four times a year, and the last meeting I left, my thought walking out the door was, thank you, Jesus, only six more meetings. I mean, that is not serving the Lord with joy. You know what I mean? And I was kind of raised, you finish what you start. You can't quit. You got to see it through. But you let me live to the end of 2017. Whew. Right? It's not a joy. If we don't do what God wants us to do in a way that honors Him, in a way that pleases Him, and in a way that brings glory to Him, shame on me. Shame on me. And then, when nobody else wants to serve, shame on me again. Right? And listen, every one of us, if we do what God has called us to do, and we do it in the order in which He has called for us to do it, and we do it for His glory, you know what the thing that is going to just naturally follow is? Joy. Joy. That's what's going to follow. And when I don't have joy, I want to blame God, like David did. And when I don't have joy, I want to say, well, why did that happen? Why is it going like this? I thought I was going to teach Sunday school and there were going to be 26 people in my class every Sunday. And there ain't nobody. Right? And the question is, if we're doing what God wants us to do, the way God wants us to do it, in a way that pleases Him, and we have joy, then what difference does it make? Right? I mean, if we can honestly say with joy we are serving the Lord God Almighty, whew, what a privilege. Right? Now, I can give you some things that I can honestly say that I do for the Lord with joy. And man, what a difference. What an absolute privilege to know it's for absolute joy. Absolute joy. Now, when you look at chapter 16, we're going to look at some things, and I'm going to bring some of these things forward. We're going to look at these two verses, and if I've discerned the Lord correctly, then we're going to look at the rest of chapter 16 next week, or at least parts of it. We probably won't get to all those verses, but I was going to try to do all of chapter 16 today, but I realized y'all don't want to get out of church at 4:30 this afternoon. So, you know. So, I heard that. So let's look at verse 8. They finally get things right. They get things the way that they should be. The Levites, they've been sanctified. They're ready to assume their role. They're carrying the ark. It's not on a cart. It's on poles. They're doing what God said. And David and the people, they're not out in front praising the Lord with all their might. And I certainly don't make fun of them for that. Because, man, they were genuine in what they were doing. And it was important. But they weren't doing it right. And when you look at chapter 16, they've gotten it right. They've gotten the ark back. Everything is like it's supposed to be. And then David writes this psalm, and he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Now, was David giving thanks back out there when his friend was dead? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He didn't start giving thanks until they got it the way that it was supposed to be. And then he says, call upon his name. Now listen, when he's talking about the Lord, he's talking about the same Lord God that revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And when he says to call upon his name, I don't know about you, but it still fogs my mind. Jeremiah 33:2-3. You look at these verses on the screen. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And then verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. When I look at that verse, it makes my head shake. It makes me just wonder, what is it that God wants to show us? What is it that God wants to want? What is the great and mighty thing? And God is just waiting on us to call it, waiting on us to say, God, we're calling out to you. Listen, today at 4 o'clock, I know in the bulletin it says 3. The grow is at 3. The prayer meeting is going to be at 4. And we're going to be praying about the 3151. And the 3 is commit to pray for 3 people, learn 1 spiritual conversation, invite 5 people, and you're going to get the cards next week to do that, and then witness to 1 person. When you look at the condition of our world, and if it does not drive you to your knees, I dare say your TV is on a different channel than mine. You must be reading a different newspaper. And we have to realize, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and then. Right? And so I want to ask you, I want to just like, will you come back today? If you have GROW, it's at 3. The classes are listed in the bulletin. But at 4 o'clock, we're just going to pray. I mean, we're going to pray. And if you have something that you want us to pray about, those of us who are coming, if the Lord wills, I will be here. But listen, we're going to pray. And if you have something in your life or you somebody or something, then hey, God didn't say, call them to me and I might answer you. He said, call to me and I will. May not be what you want to hear, but he'll still answer. Right? But folks, I'm afraid we've lost the vision of who it is that we call upon. And then he says, make known my deeds among the people. It would be very interesting, and of course we don't know the answer to this and really don't have any way of knowing, but it would be very interesting if we could gather up all the people, and I'm going to use myself, but if we could gather up all the people that I know that are part of my life that are not saved, it would be very interesting to see what they believe about God and see what I have told them about God. Because I know that if you were in Sunday school today, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, you want to know if God loves you? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. There's nothing more he can do. And listen, a person may choose to die without Christ, but there's no reason they should die without knowing all the benefits. And when we do the 3151, listen, you know what it's going to be an opportunity to do? It's going to be an opportunity for you, for me, for us to go up to somebody and say, I want to tell you what the Lord God Almighty has done in my life. I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. And then in verse 9 it says, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. In other words, with your, make the sweetest sound that you can. For all of us, that varies. And talk of his wondrous works. Listen, it is a tremendous... Could you imagine? I'm going to use Dawn. Could you imagine if I was able to honestly say that I had been praying specifically for Dawn, and I could go up to Dawn and I could say, Dawn, I got to tell you something. God laid you on my heart and I've been praying for you. She may or may not do whatever, or she'll do whatever she wants to do, but I guarantee you one thing. When you say the Lord God Almighty laid you on my heart and I've been praying for you, I've been able to do that at times, and you get somebody's undivided attention. It doesn't mean they're going to do anything, but when you say, hey, I remember telling somebody this, there's 7 billion people on planet Earth, and God laid you on my heart. That's pretty, 1 in 7 billion, pretty good odds, right? And when we can say that God laid them on our heart and we prayed for them, we learn a gospel presentation, man, invite, we share. Whew. Now, I told y'all this the whole time we've been talking about this 3151. We have to understand that God has a plan for his church. And God's plan for his church is not to save us, put us in a room every Sunday together while the world dies apart from him. God's plan is that we come, we're equipped, we learn, and we go. Last week, I had an opportunity where we were 2 Sunday school classes in the same room. And we were talking because it was a part of the lesson, and we were talking about the 3151. And do you know, out of those 2 adult Sunday school classes that were together, I asked, what percentage of people in our church do you think will participate in the 3151? Don't say anything out loud, but I want you to think of a number. Of those 2 classes, the highest number that anybody said was 30%. And the average that people seemed to be more content with was more like 10, 15, 20%. That means 2 out of 10. I'm going to say there's 140 people in here right now. That means maybe 25 people out of this group would actually participate in the 3151. And I'm going to tell you, I pray in the name of Jesus, that's not true. Right? Now, there's got to be more than 2 people here think that's not a good idea. Right? You have to realize that your coworkers are going to spend eternity somewhere. Your family members are going to spend eternity somewhere. But I'm going to give you another illustration that happened this week. You know, we talk about things we love. Y'all do know that, don't you? We talk about things we care about. This past week, the secretary had gone, I think, to Office Depot, and a lady came in, and man, I really liked her. I didn't know her before she came in, but man, me and her really hit it off. We were just having a grand old time, and she needed help with her light bill. And we got to talking about it, and it really got kind of funny because she was laughing about it, and then I was kidding around with her. But we got to talking about her cat. You know what I'm talking about? Her cat. And she went, Jessie was the cat's name. She went on and on and on about this cat that she had for 14 years. And on and on and on about this cat, how she had to take it to the vet. And she really didn't have the money to take Jesse to the vet, but Jesse's her baby. That's what she kept saying. And she would laugh about it. And I was telling her, I said, when you get home, you better tell Jesse. We'll find out if he got 9 lives or not, if he belonged to Jeff. We were totally kidding. Cat lovers, right? We were totally kidding around, you know, about her cat and about a 22 long. But we were totally kidding around. You know, we were just laughing and carrying on about her cat. Well, if you come up here, we'll laugh and kid around, but we're not going to talk about the cat. You know who we're going to talk about? Jesus. And when Jesus was mentioned, demeanor totally changed. When Jesus was mentioned, started talking about going to church when she was a little girl. She's in her 70s, and it's like, you can't have a past tense experience with Jesus. And I'm not her judge in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And I'm basing a conversation off of only talking to her for 10 minutes. But I can tell you, based on those 10 minutes, without any doubt, she loves Jesse more than she does Jesus. You know why? She wouldn't stop talking about him. She told me everything about Jesse the cat. Everything. And we got to Jesus. Jesse, she loves. Jesus, she just learned about him in Sunday school, but she got some, you know. You know what we talk about? You know what we talk about? You know how we know what we love? Because what we talk about. There ain't any doubt about it. And listen, if you know who Jesus is and you know what Jesus has done, you can't be quiet about it. You can't. You can't. It can't be 13th on your list. It's got to be first. And when he's first, a whole bunch of people aren't going to hear it. But somebody will. Right? Somebody will. Folks, with as much as I can muster, please. Please, if Grace Baptist Church is going to make a commitment, we're going to do what the Lord God said, and we're going to do it in a way that honors him. We'll know real quick over the next month whether that's happening or not. It won't take very long at all until we'll know. Because if we don't love people enough, concerned about people enough to pray for them, learn a gospel presentation, invite five and share with one, I offer to you, I would be the one with the biggest problem. Right? Because people are going to spend eternity somewhere. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the invitation, God, I pray that even now, Lord, that we would be reminded, Lord, that it's not your will that any should perish, God, but that all would come to repentance. God, I pray that we would be reminded, Lord, that you said that you've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so, God, I pray that when we go out of here today, even now, we'll start praying. We'll start seeking your face as to who it is you want us to pray for. Who is it that you want us to tell of your mighty, wondrous works? Who is it that you want us to proclaim the good news of your gospel to them so that they can have the same opportunity to be saved that we have? God, you're a wonderful, awesome God, and we love you and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you need to make a decision, obviously, you need to just come forward. If you need to pray, this altar is open. But the one thing that I want to encourage you to do is please do what God's laying on your heart. Ryan, will you lead us in the invitation?